farms are dangerous places, and a child's curiosity can cause potentially devastating damage and even death. I remember a friend dealing with his teenager who was misbehaving at one stage and kept lying, and he said, "I want an explanation and I want the truth." And his son's response was, "Get real, Dad, you can have one, but not both." The teaching in today's gospel reading seems to contradict much of Jesus' previous teaching and his deeds. Because didn't Jesus teach respect for one's parents and claim that he came to fulfill the law? I wonder, though, do we have a true picture of him and his message? John F. Kennedy said, "The great enemy of the truth is very often not the lie, deliberate, contrived, and dishonest, but the myth, persistent, persuasive, and unrealistic." I think to many in the world, Jesus is someone meek and mild, who favoured harmony over true peace, someone who preached a message of love and turning the other cheek. I'm not sure how much people ever consider that he stood up for and lived the truth. This passage, to those who hold the mythological view of Jesus, is confusing. But this is partly because this is one of those times when we need to remember that this teaching was given to a people well steeped in the scriptures. They would have recalled Micah's picture in chapter 7 of family dysfunction because Israel had turned from their God. But if we remember chapter 7, verse 7, the prophet says, "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Saviour. My God will hear me." To put it in terms of our passage from Hebrews, Micah looked by faith to God's future, now finally revealed in Jesus himself, the example of our faith and the object of our hope. But as we heard in Luke, to those who refuse this faith and hope, Jesus declares that he has come prophet-like to divide Israel down the middle. Jesus came with his message of the kingdom of God, showing the love and power of God in his acts of healing, rescuing, and creating. Clear signs of his identity. How could people fail to draw the right conclusions? This passage from Luke continues Jesus' teaching on the end times, and what is abundantly clear is that those who have encountered Christ have to make a decision to respond great enemy of the truth is very often not the lie, deliberate, contrived, and dishonest, but the myth, persistent, persuasive, and unrealistic. The Pharisees wanted their society to believe that they alone held the truth. So Jesus coming along and patiently demonstrating the truth upset both them, but also those who didn't want to examine themselves and their lives too closely. Speaking the truth now, as Jesus did then, is countercultural and also a necessary part of the kingdom of God. Truth tends to ignite passions, particularly in the young. Truth can bring division and tension, which is why it can seem better to favour harmony rather than standing up for the truth. Truth establishes values and shapes a way of life. It divides because it sorts out the good from the bad, the worthy from the worthless, and wisdom from falsehood. Truth doesn't seem to count for very much now. I can't remember that exact quote of Trump's, but it wasn't, "Well, that's more truth than this is mine." Was it him? If we seek to seize out the truth within our families or within our church, through searching, debating, and seeing others' perspectives, does this mean that we will have to put our loyalty to Christ above our loyalty to family or possibly friends? When we're doing that, we still need to love and be respectful to those whose views are different to our own. But that doesn't mean that we should be bullied into submission of saying that we accept something which we know not to be true. To stand up for Jesus when you are pushed into a corner is very different from having to live things out in a balanced way over a long period of time. Passion is wonderful as a push to action, but it can also lead to bigotry. We only need to think of our own history in the church in this country and of the number of martyrs who were burnt at the stake by both the Catholics and the Protestants. Modern society is so fragile that outbursts of religious fanaticism can cause people to reject the gospel altogether. So wisdom, through the power of the Holy Spirit, must be used. So we must stand up for truth, in other words, but use wisdom as to when we wield truth. I wonder, have you the wisdom to interpret the present times? Our minds, as well as our emotions, must be utilised to reach judgments about the truth. And we must be very wary of thinking that we found the truth and looking critically at those who we believe are either apathetic or deluded, because actually they may be looking at us in the same way. We need to be sure that we have found the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The scriptures tell us that we are not to judge others. Instead, we should pray in love that the Holy Spirit will show us all the truth, and more so as the end times draw nearer. We need to be sure that we're not being deceived by politicians, by priests, by preachers. We need always to go to Christ. We need to check that what we hear from the pulpit actually goes along with the Bible. Christ will one day bring peace upon the whole earth, but before that there will be division and pain. So what must we do? We need to find the truth. Jesus, the way, and the truth, and the life. Because the truth will set us free. We need to, if we have been sitting on the fence, get off it and be wholly for Christ, following him totally. But we also need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us an increasing knowledge and love of God so that we will be able to interpret the present time and so be prepared. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of those who doesn't speak